Our ministry is called Ireland for Jesus. My name's Gary. My wife Catherine's here as well. She wasn't here last time. She's been able to make it along to meet you guys. And we also have some friends here the whole way across from Tampa as well with us. We've been there for the week. We're involved in a golf event there, fundraiser for our ministry, and connecting with all sorts of people over there. So it's a delight to be with you. And we're involved in planting churches all across the island of Ireland. That's what our ministry is all about. We've been on this crazy God journey for about 25 years now, following him. I met my wife in a nightclub back in April 1997. I wasn't following Jesus. She wasn't following Jesus. But the Lord met us there that evening and began to work in our lives in incredible ways and drew us into a relationship with himself. We knew about God with our heads before then. We had a head knowledge about the gospel and about Christ, but he wanted to give us a heart knowledge, and he drew us into that relationship with himself. And we've been in ministry all these years. We planted and led a church for 10 years, but just about two or three years ago, the Lord led us to begin this ministry called Ireland for Jesus, where we're spearheaded a church planting movement right across the island of Ireland. But you see there in our logo, you see the bridge. That's a picture of a bridge there. And God has called us not only to reach right across Ireland, but to do so while partnering with churches and individuals in the United States. The imagery is building a stronger kingdom bridge where people can cross back and forth over that bridge. Resources, ideas, kingdom blessing. And when we first began to develop this vision, as the Lord planted a seed in our hearts and then began to grow that seed and develop the vision, we were like, Lord, are you sure about this? We don't really know anyone in America. Don't know how all this is going to work out. You ever been there? When God's leading you a certain way and you feel a little overwhelmed? Not a little overwhelmed, a big bit overwhelmed. And you feel like you're in over your head. And life can feel like that at times. But that's where we must remember that weakness doesn't disqualify us from serving Jesus. Amen? It's actually a qualifier. Because the promise that we have in the Word of God is that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that is the gospel. That we come to him as needy people. He fills us up. And it's all about the power of Christ in and through us. So way, way back at the beginning of this venture, we had to start to reach out across the United States and try and make connections. And my wife and I became a part of a mission sending organization in Fort Myers, Florida. We get connected in with those guys, and we're under their umbrella, and we're accountable to them. But they didn't give us any connections. That was our job, to begin to pray and reach out and seek God's strategy for how he would want to unfold his purposes and plans for this next phase of ministry. And the promise from the Lord is that when we seek, we will find. That's the promise that he gives us. And we know the famous words of Jesus, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And in the original language, all those verbs are in the continuous tense. That means keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and the Lord will come and meet us in his own good time. And of course, the asking, the seeking, and the knocking, sometimes we wonder, why do we have to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking? Well, it's all about relationship. That's what the Lord wants with us. It's not so much about the destination where we're trying to get to. It's not even so much about trying to get an answer to those prayers. It's about Jesus himself drawing us closer through the power of the Holy Spirit into that close relationship with him. Because can I remind you today that God is crazy about you? He's crazy in love with you. And he sees you as an individual, and the longing of his heart is to draw you into relationship with himself. Whether that's for the first time or for the 1,000th time, that's always the heart of the Father for us. Relationship. Relationship. Say it with me. relationship. And that's what we're all about in our ministry in Ireland. We're all about building relationships with people right across the island and helping to draw people into that relationship with Jesus. So maybe you don't know anything about the spiritual climate in Ireland. There's only about 1% of people there have a personal relationship with Jesus. Historically, the island was very religious, very Catholic. But in the last 30, 40 years, a lot of that has disintegrated and people are done with religion. They don't want any more than just the big lists of rules and showing up at church on a Sunday and ticking a box. But people are still interested in relationship. They're interested in when we share with many of even the younger generation on the island about the whole idea of knowing Jesus personally. They're like, really? You can know him personally? Yes. That's the joy of knowing God and being drawn to him is we can talk to him and he talks to us and we walk with him daily. So we're seeing special things happen across our island. So let me take you back about 3 years ago when this ministry's first starting and we're thinking, right, Lord, how are we going to connect with churches and how are we going to connect with individuals and how is all of this going to work? And through actually meeting someone who was a missionary from America, actually sent to Ireland, we were having lunch one day with this young couple, and they asked us the question about, well, how are you going to get connected to the United States, and how's this all going to work for you? And we just said, we don't know. And she said, well, we think we have your first partner church in the United States. And it was a church actually based here in Florida, actually at close to Daytona Beach. And she said, we know they're interested in Ireland because we were talking to them about Ireland. And even though they didn't support us, they said they're actually on the lookout for an Irish pioneer. And she said, we think they'll support you guys. And I said, well, right, really? Well, what do we do? She says, well, you craft an email about yourself and tell them about your family and tell them about your walk with Jesus and what the Lord's done in your lives and your ministry and pop them an email and see what happens. And we were like, okay. And we sent across the email. Do you know, within 6 weeks of sending that email, the missions pastor of that church was in the church that we led back in Ireland. She made the trip the whole way across. And we were like, wow, there's something happening here. Then God began to show us that there's power in our story. You know, there's power in your story. When I say power, I'm actually saying power. Okay? There's power in your story. In all of our stories, even the ugly parts of our stories, there's power in that. Authenticity in that. And that's what people need to hear. Reality and reconciliation and healing. And we all need Jesus, right? All of us, day by day. So God began, that was our first partner church. And then God began to show us, this is how you're going to build relationships across America. You need to reach out to people. You need to share your story, and I'll do the rest. Well, we began to break the United States down into all 50 states, and we began to break the states down into like the top 10 or 15 cities in each state. We came across Winter Haven, and we came across a church called Kairos Church. And we went through the website, and we read the vision, values, and beliefs, and we saw that your pastor and your church here had a heart for church planting and outreach, and we reached out to Pastor Brent, and wow, I was amazed. He answered my email. And here we are. And Kairos Church, way back at the beginning of our journey, started partnering with Ireland for Jesus. And it's been a wonderful relationship with Pastor Brent and Christine and their family, and getting to know them and seeing the development of your church here. And that was a step of faith from your pastor and your leadership. And we're very, very thankful for the support that we receive from your church and the financial support and the prayer support and the love that we receive from you guys. So you who are part of Kairos Church here today, you're actually making an impact right across the island of Ireland. This is your work, okay? You're part of this work. Through your faith and your giving, your generosity and your faithfulness, you're touching lives right across the island of Ireland. So I just want to take a little bit of time and show you a few pictures of some of the people who you're impacting. So you'll see here in the next slide, I want to take you to a city right on the border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So Ireland has a population of 7 million people, 2 million in the north, 5 million in the south. And this is a city right on the border, a very unreached city. And we're planting a church here. The church is called The Grove. The whole idea of trees bearing fruit and planting roots down. And we're reaching out to unchurched people and bringing them into relationship with Jesus. And I want to show you a few pictures here about Newry. We have access to the schools in Newry, to go into the elementary schools, to go into the high schools, to preach the gospel and share the good news with the children. We've built, taken time to build up those relationships. And you'll see here in the next slides, some of the children we're working with. So we have a kids program, a weekly kids program going there in Newry. We have about 60 kids attending. 30 of them are elementary kids, 30 of them are high school kids. And just a number of months ago, we gave every child who comes to our kids program an age-appropriate study Bible. And for 50 out of the 60 kids, that was the first ever Bible that they had received. So that gives you a little bit of an insight into modern day Ireland and the impact that your faithfulness and your generosity and your prayers is having in Ireland. You helped provide the Bibles to these children. So you feel good about that? Yes. We all want to be part of what God's doing, don't we? Yeah. This is the city of Newry. You'll see in the next slide. We started receiving social media messages from some of the parents, from the kids who had received their first Bible, saying their kids, some of the kids are actually sleeping with their Bible because we're teaching them the Word and the Word's starting to get into their hearts and these young children are responding. We see these kids as the future church planters, the ones who are going to go out across Ireland and plant all these churches. We have around 50 towns in Ireland with a population of 10,000 people or more that has no Bible-believing church at all. 50 of them. And our vision as a ministry is to plant churches in all 50 of these locations. That's what you're a part of here at Kairos. And at the moment, we're working in about 6 different locations. That's Newry. We're just about to get a new building, a shop front, a small shop front down in the Newry City Centre. This is myself and Natalie, who's an evangelist in the area, who's helping lead the work there. So this is a very exciting development for us. You helped us to get this building through your prayers and your generosity. That's the city of Newry. You can be praying for that. This is inside the space, just a practical space right in the main street of the city to do day-to-day outreach, to run different programs, drop-in center and all that. It has a little kitchen here. You'll see we can make food. We can meet people exactly where they're at in life. So if you want to check that up on Google Maps when you get home, the city of Newry, taking you on to another location. This is the city of Galway, way out in the west of Ireland, where there's great needs out there for church planting. We have a rural region in County Galway called Connemara, a population of 32,000 people. One Bible-believing church of 20 people. That's it across the whole region. We have a vision to see little houses of glory, we're calling them, spring up all across the region. And in I see some folks have it in the back of their shirt, the town Clifton. We're involved there in planting a little church, which is like the hub of the whole rural region, where all these little house groups will meet during the week and come together on a Sunday to encourage one another and then scatter back out across the rural region again right throughout the week to be the hands and feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus. In this region, this is a couple who are serving out there. The guy's called Tiago, his wife's called Elise. Well, we're helping to support Tiago as a youth worker in the whole region. He's just recently appointed as a youth pastor in that area because there's a great need for full-time youth workers in Ireland. You know, when out in that west, parts of the west of Ireland, there's some areas where you would have to drive over 1 hour to come into connection with a church that has a paid youth worker. So through your financial giving, through your generosity, we're helping to support people like Tiago to help reach the younger generation for Jesus. Please be praying for him. Next slide. Let me take you to Belfast. This is a vocational college right in the center of Belfast, right where the Titanic ship was built. There's never been any sort of Christian initiative in this college. And you'll see in the next slide here that we've started an Alpha program, which is a program that we use, an evangelistic program, introducing people to Jesus and the Christian faith. So the guy with the blue hoodie on there and the glasses, his name's Andrew. Ireland for Jesus is helping to fund Andrew as a full-time youth worker in the Belfast area with the Gathering Church plant and reaching out into the vocational college. You're involved in that as a church. Let me encourage you today, you're making an impact. All these young people here have no Christian background, no church background, and we're sharing the good news of Jesus with them in Belfast. Next slide, please. We have over 20 miles of 50, 60 feet fencing right throughout Belfast City that divides the Catholic and the Protestant communities. It's a complicated story. It's about our history. I encourage you to read up about it. But Belfast historically has been a divided city. Everyone who lives at one side of this fence is Catholic. Everyone who lives at the other side of the fence is Protestant. It's not really to do with faith in Jesus. It's more political, more tribal. But we have a vision to plant churches across Belfast City to bring reconciliation between Catholics and Protestants under the banner of Jesus. People often ask us, is it a Catholic church? Is it a Protestant church? None of the above. We would say it's a Jesus church. It's all about Jesus. And they're no, but it has to be Catholic or Protestant. What is it? It's Jesus. And Jesus is the answer for Belfast City. So we want to see these walls coming down. But more importantly, we want to see the walls in people's hearts coming down and that they're united under the banner of Jesus. Next slide, please. This little guy's called Junior. He's a 12-year-old boy from an unchurched background. Recently, we led him to Jesus. And he's the first generation Christian. And he's going into school, he's sharing his faith. He's going into his community, sharing his faith. He's first to church on a Sunday and he's last away. Pray for Junior. A great good news story recently. Next slide. And this is in the heart of Belfast City where we're currently working on a new project where we're planting a church called Fresh Life Church. It's actually going to be the Ireland for Jesus headquarters. I'm going to pastor that church part-time, and the other part of the time, we're going to continue to spearhead the Ireland-wide movement, and we're building a team for the new church plant, and we're currently adding to our Ireland for Jesus staff. Pray for us. Fresh Life Church is going to be located in Northern Ireland's premier retail area. We're actually opening a Plato's Closet-type store that we're planning to use to reach out to the younger generation and reach them for Jesus. It's going to be an evangelistic style store that when people come in, we build relationships. We're going to have a cafe area, and everyone who either sells an item of clothing or buys an item of clothing, we're going to invite them along to our Alpha program, which is going to be held in the store, in our cafe area, a number of times during the week. Does it seem like a good plan? Yeah. Will you pray for us? Yeah. And we hope next time we come, we'll tell you all about what Fresh Life is doing. So there's Plato's Closet. There it is. Let's see the next slide. Okay, we all know this symbol and we all know their slogan. What's their slogan? Shout it out. Just do it. That's what God was calling us to do in our ministry, just to do it. He brought us to that point in life where we were leading a successful church. The Lord called us to step down, relinquish our position, step out with no guarantee of any salary. And I tell you, that is nerve-wracking, especially for my wife when we had 7 young kids. She says, what about the salary? I says, what salary? Anyway, the Lord brought us to that point. We felt, you know, he brings you to that place where he's saying, just do it. Just do it. There comes that place when, you know, the faith has to kick in. The Lord has given enough leading and you need to step out into what God is calling you to do. And that takes courage. It reminds me of the passage of scripture that I just want to spend a short time just sharing with you about this morning. It's John 2, 1 to 11. The well-known story of the changing of the water into wine. It's the first recorded miracle of Jesus in the New Testament. But in John's gospel, these miracles aren't called miracles. They're actually called signs. The reason they're called signs is because the miracle itself was actually a sign pointing people to the Son of God, the Messiah, as the great Savior of the world. That was the design of these miracles or signs. And we read about the first recorded miracle of Jesus in John 2, 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." In other words, just do it. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see, Jesus was revealing his glory in order for people to be drawn into faith in Christ. Can I remind you today that the good news of Jesus, the gospel, the message of salvation, the word salvation means deliverance. God has come to bring deliverance to our lives, freedom from sin, and a life living in relationship with him, and the guarantee of a future in heaven, eternal life, and it all comes about by faith in Christ. It's not about our good works. It's not about our achievements. Not about the family we were brought up in. Not about our bank balance. Not about our career. All about faith in Jesus. So it's all about what he has done. That's why our ministry is called Ireland for Jesus. Because that's what people are hungry for. That's what you're hungry for. That's what I'm hungry for. We're hungry for Jesus. And this word that we often hear mentioned in Christian circles, this word saved, sometimes it can seem a bit weird. What are they talking about when they're talking about being saved? Because we talk about this a lot as Christians. Well, as I've said, salvation means deliverance, and to be saved means to be saved from our sins, to be have our sins forgiven and to be reconciled with Christ and to live in relationship with him. So that's what we often talk about. We're saved from sin and its consequences. The consequences of sin are death, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. If we die outside of Christ, we don't get to go to be with Jesus. There's separation there. So we're saved from sin and its consequences when we express faith in Jesus, his work on the cross, his resurrection. We believe in him. He comes and he saves us. He forgives us and reconciles us to God. But not only are we saved from something, we're saved for something. That's the relationship with Jesus. We're saved for relationship, walking with him day by day, getting to know him more personally. And he's drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper with himself. And our hearts need to go deeper and deeper with Jesus. So we're saved from sin, saved for relationship with Jesus, but we're saved onto good works for him. So we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 talks about this whole idea that even before you were born and even before I was born, that God already had those good works laid out for us to walk in them. So you're unique and I'm unique, and God knit you together in your mother's womb, and he knit me together in my mother's womb, and we're exactly who we're supposed to be, designed to walk with Jesus and fulfill his purposes. And do you know what? That's freeing. That's freeing for me. If I go for a job interview and there's three other people in this room who are going to the job interview and you get it ahead of me, I'm going, praise the Lord. I cheer you on because there's something else a little bit down the line with my name on it. And because it has my name on it, I'm not going to miss it. Can I remind you of that today? You don't need to fear about missing God's plan for your life. You can relax. Do you know, even your most heinous sin can't screw up the purposes and plans of God. Can I remind you of that? You're not that smart to mess up the plans of God for your life. And most of you I've never talked to personally, but I know one thing. Every single one of you in this room is screwed up. Dear me, if we were to put up on that screen your life over the last 6 months, every word you've spoken, every thought that's went through your mind, oh dear me, every one of us would want to crawl under the seats. Am I right? Am I right? Is there anyone who wouldn't feel embarrassed if the last 6 months of their life was up on the screen? You see, we're all sinners. We all need Jesus. And the amazing thing is when we come to him, he's a God of restoration. He's a God of reconciliation. Just like in our car, we were traveling across from Tampa. We did have a good driver, but he took a couple of wrong turns. Our friend Jeremy. And that Google Maps was recalculating and recalculating and people talking, saying, turn right, turn left. And, you know, Jeremy's a pretty calm soul, but even he was getting a little bit flustered. That's a picture of our lives. A wrong turn here, a wrong turn there. But through it all, God recalculates our route. Or as you would say here in America, you're right. We call it a route. It's not encouraging today. It's not about us getting it right every single time. It's about the faithfulness of God. It's about God's goodness to us in our lives. And we have this incredible story here of the wedding at Cana. It was a complete disaster as far as wedding goes. All the money and the planning that had been put in place. And one of the most precious commodities at a wedding during the time of Jesus was the wine. And of course, somebody had checked and they checked again and they checked again. I don't know whether there were more guests turned up than they expected. Maybe some people gatecrashed the wedding. I don't know what happened, but this wine began to run out. And panic set in at this wedding celebration, this wedding feast. And Jesus was there, and the disciples were there, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were there, and there were servants there who were responsible for ensuring that everything ran smoothly. And of course, there's panic and the servants discover that, oh dear, what's the bride and the bridegroom going to be thinking? The wine's running out and their family members, this is such an embarrassing situation. Who can we go to? Let's go to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She has like a very good contact with Jesus. And Mary goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, it's all going wrong, help us. And he's like, woman, my hour has not yet come. That was a reference to him going to the cross, because the hour in scripture is always a reference to the death of Jesus. In other words, it's not my time to do what I came for. My purpose is the cross and I'm focused on that. But she's like, we need your help, Jesus. This is all going wrong. And she's going back and forth between Jesus and the servants and Jesus and the servants. And she goes to the servants and the servants, what are we going to do? And she says, listen, whatever he tells you to do, do it. In other words, just do it. Say it with me. Just do it. Just do it. So Jesus says, if he comes up with a plan the way he wants to go about this deal and fix this problem. And here's the deal. There were six large pots sitting over at the side. The scripture tells us that they held about 20 or 30 gallons of water. And there was a religious significance to these pots. These pots were used for Jewish ceremonial washings, part of the ritual in the Old Testament, part of the cleansing ritual that God had ordained. And Jesus said to the servants, I want you to go and I want you to fill those six 30-gallon large pots right up to the brim with water. Can you imagine these servants? I can imagine them getting together in a little huddle, trying to figure that out. Did he hear us right? we actually need wine, not water. Did you say water, Jesus? Fill the jars to the brim with water. And I can hear Mary going, just do it. They begin filling the jars up to the brim with water. And the master of the feast then, Jesus performs the miracle, and the master of the feast tastes what was water, and it has become wine. He had performed his first sign, his first miracle. And of course, there's spiritual significance in all of this. These old clay pots filled with water for the ceremonial washings, the water being changed into the wine, was signifying that the old covenant was being fulfilled by the new covenant. That no longer to come to God do we have to perform ceremonial washings, or do we have to pray at certain times, or we have to adhere to certain feasts, or do we have to wear certain clothes, or all of that was being fulfilled by the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the new wine. The gospel is signified as the new wine. A new era was being ushered in. The new covenant was being introduced. And Jesus was saying that all of those rituals, all of those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws in the Old Testament, all pointed to Jesus. The water had become wine. And Jesus was introducing them to the new life that he was offering. And it was a gospel presentation at the wedding. He was saying to all the people, I am the new wine. Come drink of me. Come eat of me. Come and be saved. Come and find life through Jesus, faith in him. What a great moment it was. You see, normally at a wedding, it says here in the text, and it makes sense, doesn't it? You serve the good wine at the beginning, and at the end, you serve the dodgy wine. But in this case, the rules were reversed. At the beginning, even though I'm sure the wine was quite decent, they served the dodgy wine, and this was some party. As the night went on, the wine got better. You see, the scriptures are testifying to us today that God saved his best for last. And all those years of waiting and all those times of wondering, the Lord came through and fulfilled his promises. And you see, it's the same in your life and it's the same in my life. Am I talking to someone this morning who's waiting on something? Oh, yeah. Am I talking to someone today who's waiting on something? Yes. And in the waiting, there's the wondering. And in the wondering, there's the questioning. And in the midst of all that, there's the doubting. But I'm here to remind you today that God keeps his promises. And at just the right time, he sent his son Jesus. And in just the right time, he will send his provision for you. And in just the right time, he will roll out his plans for you. The promise from Scripture is this: we will reap in due season. If we don't,
just do it.
Just do it. If we don't give up, just do it. That's what the word says. Just do it. That's my word for you today. Put the Nike logo back up. It's not a great resolution, that, but just remember it next time you see it. Put your hands up if you're wearing Nike trainers. Anyone in the building? Yeah? Catherine, did you buy those with my money? Just do it. Just do it. That's the word of the Lord today. Just do it. But in order to just do what God's calling us to do, we need to walk in relationship with him, right? We need to be tuned into the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to be repenting of any sin in our life and turning from our own ways and turning to the ways of Christ, thinking as Christ thinks. We need to be walking with Jesus. Then the power of the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and his thoughts become our thoughts, and his desires become our desires. And our prayer every day ought to be, Lord, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're doing? You see, our role is not to try to create the wave. Our role is to surf the wave that the Lord is already creating. We don't have the responsibility of trying to make things happen. We just have the responsibility of getting on board with what the Lord is already doing. That's what our whole ministry, Ireland for Jesus, is all about. Lord, what is it you're already doing? Where are you already working? I want to get on board with that. Compare that with striving and with being exhausted and with trying to make it happen and forcing things. The Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Those famous words, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when you're walking in that sweet spot with Jesus, and sometimes we go through times and seasons when we're trying to figure that stuff out. I get it, we've been there. But then when the Lord finally brings you in, if you like, to your promised land, that's where we are now as a ministry. We're walking in that precious space. And many times, even in this recent trip to the States, you feel like you're somewhat of a spectator. It's like the Lord's unfolding his plan before you. And Jesus says, now, I don't actually need you to be involved in this, but I want you to be involved. You're my sons, you're my daughters. I want you to be involved. Come join me in what I'm doing. That's the way Jesus lived his life. John 5:19 tells us, Jesus said, I only do those things I see my Father doing. Jesus knew how to say no, but boy, did he know how to say yes. And the Holy Spirit gave Jesus that ability to know what to say yes to and what to say no to. If you keep saying yes to everything that's offered to you, you will burn yourself out. You need to ask Jesus, what are the things that you're doing so I can get on board with them? God's ways are always the best ways. And then God leads you to that place where he's given you the choice. And he's saying, now I need you to exercise courage and I need you to exercise faith. And if you're taking faith steps for Jesus, it will always seem risky. You know how faith is spelt? R-I-S-K. Because we're always leaving something behind that might seem, you know, our securities, the things, familiarities. And the Lord's saying, I want to step out into this new season. I want to step out into these new waters. And as you step out, I will go with you. I will go with you. That's the promise of the Lord. The Lord calls us to do many difficult things in life, but one thing he never asks us to do, he never asks us to do anything alone. Never. I will go with you. And maybe God brought us, Catherine and I, all the way from Ireland today for someone in this room today. And as I'm speaking, it feels like God is actually speaking to you. And you feel, did God send that guy actually to speak to me? That's the experience you're having right now, this moment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. These words are speaking to you. And the Lord's saying, just do it. Maybe it's an area of your life you've been putting something off. Maybe you're a Christian and the Lord's been drawing you out to do something, to take a step, whether it's in church life or work life or family life, something you need to step into or something you need to step away from. Maybe for these last months or this last year, you've been entangled in something and the Lord says, today is the day to take the step away from that, back in to the heart and the presence of Jesus again. Would you bow your heads with me just for one moment, just as we bring this to a close? Maybe you're here today, you don't even know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him, and God's been working in your life. And he's brought you here today to hear this guy with a strange accent all the way from Ireland, and he's brought you here to talk about Jesus, who's the new wine, the good news of Jesus, forgiveness, relationship with him, a life of purpose. And you're God's saying to you right now in your seat, today is my day to enter a relationship with Jesus for the first time. I want his forgiveness. I want to know his presence by his Spirit. I want to know my sins cleansed and washed away. I want to know a clean slate and a new beginning. If there's anyone here today and that's you and you want to know Jesus personally today for the first time, maybe you could indicate that while no one else is watching, just by slipping your hand up and saying, that's me. I would like that relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone in the room who would say, for the first time, Jesus, I'd love to follow you? What about in the room today, the message that I've spoken to you as a believer, and you have felt during the message, that word is for me, just do it. Or someone at the back putting their hand up. Anyone else today as a believer saying, this is my time, this is my day. There's another, thank you, lady at the back. Thank you here at the front. And you're saying, yes, at the front here as well, this is my time. This is my time to step away from something and into something new. Anyone else? Thank you here at the front. Yes, I see your hand. Wonderful at the back. You can put your hand down. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the room today. People exercising faith and courage, and the Lord will bless you for that. Can I encourage you after service today, just go over to the prayer station here, the Connect station over to my right. Pastor Brent will be there. I would love you just to share with him a little bit about what God's doing in your life, and he would love to pray for you. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the new wine of the gospel. We thank you you've come to save us from sin, to save us for relationship with you now and in the life to come, and you've saved us unto a life of good works. Lord, we want your will. Fill us with your spirit. Lead us forward in your power. And Lord, may we glorify your name in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.